first two lines are going to be the chorus. So that means everyone, all at once, at the same time, together, will sing the first two lines in between each set of lines. Okay? And we'll do that in double time. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Krishna Krishna All together. Namaste, Sarasvati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha
Sono, Thank you.
time, but not so much faster.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Everyone all together. Radha Kala Chandri, Radha Kala Chandri, Radhe,
Radha,
Radha Kala Chandri, Radha Kala Chandri, Radhe, Jai Radha Kala Chandri, Radha Kala Chandri, Radhe,
Jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare 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 Ram,
You don't happen to have a copy of Mathurmi's Pandava with you, do you?
I do.
You do? Gora Gradanya Gana Gota Goloru Haram Goranga Guru Tamagopya Kopa Briksham Gopala Gara Ratidam Yeti Singha Gora Govinda Deshi Kavaram Satatam Namami Utama adama ki chuna bachi ra chachi ra dile kakola Kahe premananda he mona goranga Vidoya dhari ya bola Bacha goranga kaha goranga Laha goranga ra namare bolo
Bacha goranga
kaha goranga Laha goranga ra namare Che jana goranga Baje se hoy amara prana re se Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaiva Padam Bhuja Bhakti Labhya Prema Vidana Parama Pumarta Tasmai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madgavirapi Gopala Sri Kriyat Kripaya Jadi Tadaiva Sambhaya Pipa Rishe Yusak Kriya Janaha. Oh Gopal, you're famous as a cowherd boy. Please, as a cowherd boy, accept and maintain the cows. You accept and maintain the cows in the form of this katha today. Please experience the pleasure of personally drinking that milk and inspire others to do so the same. Sri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Brajabalava Pahima Vancha Kovadarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Jayuracha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vinoda Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
So I'd like to read you a little something from this book, which we spent about 4 years compiling, called Mathura Meets Vrindavan. And the book is what it says. It speaks about what happens when Mathura meets Vrindavan. And these two very, very different places. It's based on a series of lectures given by our revered spiritual master, Sri Srimad Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj, in 1994 in Atlanta, Georgia, on the 19th and 20th of June. And it was based on a verse in purport from Srila Prabhupada, 10th canto, chapter 3, text 31. So I'd like to read you that, and we're going to begin. Today, I think we're going to have a lot of stories. I hope that doesn't disturb anyone. We're going to start with a little bit of philosophy and some Bhagavatam, so be patient. Visham yat etat sutano nishante yatavakasham purusha parobhavan vibharti soyam mama garba bobhu aho nilokasha vidambanam hita. At the time of devastation, the entire cosmos containing all creative moving and non-moving entities enters your transcendental body and is held there without difficulty. But now this transcendental form has taken birth from my womb. People will not be able to believe this, and I shall become an object of ridicule. This is spoken by Devaki when Krishna appeared in the prison of Kamsa. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, as explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, loving service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is of two different kinds, Aishvarya Purna, full of opulence, and Aishvarya Sithila, without opulence. Real love of God begins with Aishvarya Sithila, simply on the basis of pure love. Premanjana Chirita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasa Daiva Hidayeshi Vilokayambi Yam Shama Sundara Machincha Guna Swarupam Govinda Mahi Purusham Tamaham Vajani. Prabhupada quotes this verse, but this is a good translation. Pure devotees whose eyes are anointed with the ointment of prema, love, want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Shama Sundar, Murligar, with a flute swaying in his two hands. This is the form available to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who are all in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Shama Sundar, not as Lord Vishnu, Narayan, who is worshipped in Vaikuntha, where the devotees admire his opulence. Although Devaki is not on the Vrindavan platform, she's near the Vrindavan platform. On the Vrindavan platform, the mother of Krishna is Mother Yashoda. And on the Mathura and Dwarka platform, the mother of Krishna is Devaki. In Mathura and Dwarka, the love for the Lord is mixed with appreciation of his opulence. But in Vrindavan, the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not exhibited. There are five stages of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Devaki is on the platform of Vatsalya. She wanted to deal with her eternal son Krishna in that stage of love, and therefore she wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead to withdraw his opulent form of Vishnu. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur illuminates this fact very clearly in his explanation of this verse. Where he says, Bhakti, Bhagavan and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam chayo yabachani na bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samatityaitam brahma bhuyan kalpate. Quote, one who engages in spiritual activities of unalloyed devotional service immediately transcends the modes of material nature and is elevated to the spiritual platform. End of quote. From the very beginning of one's transactions in bhakti, one is situated on the transcendental platform. That's a very beautiful statement. Dear devotees, please think about that. It has a deep purport. I'll read it again. From the very beginning of one's transactions in bhakti, one is situated on the transcendental bhakti, a platform. Srila Prabhupada explains in other places, it means you're not obliged to follow Vanashram Dharma. You don't have to do that. If from the very beginning of someone's practice of bhakti. Vasudeva Devaki, therefore, being situated on a completely pure devotional state, are beyond this material world and are not subject to material fear. In the transcendental world, however, because of pure devotion, there is a similar conception of fear, which is due to intense love. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamana Vijanati Yavanyas Chasmi Kratvata, and is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhaktyaham Ekaya Graya. Without bhakti, one cannot understand the spiritual situation of the Lord. Bhakti may be considered in three stages called Gunabhuti, Gunibhuta, Pradanibhuta, and Kevala. And according to these stages, there are three divisions which are called Gyan, Gyanamoyi, and Rakti or Prem. That is, simple knowledge, love mixed with knowledge, and pure love. By simple knowledge, one can perceive transcendental bliss without variety. This perception is called Manabhuti. Manabhuti. When one comes to the stage of Gyanamoyi, one realizes the transcendental opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but when one reaches pure love, one realizes the transcendental form of the Lord as Lord Krishna or Lord Ram. That is what is wanted. Especially in a Madhurya Ras, one becomes attached to the Personality of Godhead, Sri Vigraha Nishta Rupadi, then loving transactions between the Lord and His devotees begin. The special significance of Krishna bearing a flute in his hands in Braj Bhumi, Vrindavan, is described as Madhuri Virajate. The form of the Lord with a flute in his hands is most attractive. And the one who is most sublimely attracted is Srimati Radharani, Radhika. She enjoys supremely blissful association with Krishna. Sometimes people cannot understand why Radhika's name is not mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, however, Radhika can be understood from the word Aradhana, which indicates that she enjoys the highest loving affairs with Krishna. Not wanting to be ridiculed for having given birth to Vishnu, Devaki wanted Krishna with two hands, and therefore she requested the Lord to change his form. That was Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
So, Yogavinda Maharaj spoke for several days just on this one sentence. Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to this material world. And then he went on and he spoke something about Krishna's appearance, which is something I'd like to speak about today, and about this contrast between these two places, Mathura and Vrindavan. This is a little bit of a controversial subject. It's not just an ISKCON controversy, but this is a controversy that goes back a long, long time. Viva, who is really Krishna's mother? It's a very, very important question.
Yashoda Mata?
Are you sure? But why do we say Devaki Nandan? And why do we say that Krishna was born in the prison of Kamsa? It's a very confusing thing. Who really is Krishna's mother? How do we understand this? What do you think?
Devaki.
Devaki is. That's what Srila Prabhupada says in Krishna book. But in Prabhupada's commentary on the 10th canto, he says something a little different. We'd like to visit some of that today. But mostly I'd like to tell you some stories, my friend Vivan, because I promised him I'd tell him some stories. One day, Krishna was playing with some of his friends, and the boys started teasing him. Do your friends ever tease you? No? Very good. It's very bad when you tease other boys. Don't do that. They started teasing Krishna. And you know what they told him? They said, "We know something you don't know. We know something you don't know." Krishna knows everything. But Krishna, he said, "What is it? What is it?" And the boys laughed. And they said, "We're not going to tell you. We're not going to tell." Krishna said, "No, no. What is it? Tell me, tell me." And the boys said, "We know Yashoda is not really your mother." When Krishna heard that, tears came to his eyes and his lips started quivering. And suddenly, without saying a word, he just turned around from the boys and he ran away. And the boys went searching for him, but they couldn't find him. Later they went to Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and they didn't tell them what they had been saying to Krishna. They just said, "Krishna ran away. We don't know where he is." All the Vrijvasis began searching for Krishna all over Braj. They couldn't find him. And finally, one tribal lady, she came to the house of Mother Yashoda, and she said, "Are you trying to find your Gopal?" "Yes. I know where he is. Come with me." And she took Mother Yashoda in the middle of a very big forest. And there was a very big tree. The tree was hollow. And inside of the tree, Mother Yashoda looked. There was Krishna. And Krishna was just sitting with his head down. His body was shaking, and he was crying and crying. Mother Yashoda came, and she said, "Gopal, what's wrong? Gopal." As soon as Krishna heard his mother's voice, he turned his head away from her. Mother Yashoda said, "Gopal, what is it?" She reached in the tree, and she picked up her little boy. She put him on her lap, and Gopal turned his head away from Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda said, "Gopal, what's wrong? What is it?" Finally, Krishna spoke. He said, "They say you're not really my mother." Krishna was crying. And the Mother Yashoda, she began to cry. "No, no, it's not true. You're my son. You're my boy." Krishna said, "And why am I black? And you're not black." Sometimes Mother Yashoda said not to be black. Sometimes she said to be black. But anyway, Krishna asked her like this. And Mother Yashoda, she said, "Silly boy, you were born at midnight. That's why you're black." Krishna said, "Oh." And Mother Yashoda said, "And when you were a little baby, I gave you milk from a black cow. If you drink milk from a black cow, you'll become black." Yeah. Krishna said, "Oh, that makes sense." Some other people give another reason why Krishna's black. Where does Krishna live? You may say that Krishna lives in Vrindavan, but we don't accept that. You may say that Krishna lives on the altar here in the temple. We also don't accept that. Where does Krishna really live? Krishna lives in the eyes of the gopis of Braj. And those Braj gopikas, they have kajal, black kajal around their eyes. And by living in the eyes of the gopis with that black kajal around their eyes, Krishna's also become black. Some people say like that. So there's always been this controversy. Some people say Krishna is the son of Yashoda. Some people say that Krishna is the son of Devaki. Who really is the mother of Krishna? We should understand something about the different qualities of love between Nanda and Yashoda and Devaki. And Srimad Gaurabinda Maharaj, in his book, Matsuri Meets Vrindavan, he speaks about this. And he says how, on one occasion, after Krishna had left Vrindavan, he told Uddhava, Uddhava, you go to Vrindavan and carry a message of love. You tell them that I'm thinking of them, that I care about them. So Uddhava went there. Uddhava is a very expert person. He's very, very learned. He's a Brihaspati Sishya. He's a disciple of Brihaspati. He knows so much Shastra. Very, very expert at counseling people. When he went to Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, he told them, Yuvayo eva naivayam atmajo bhagavan hari sarvesham atmajo yatma pita mata sa ishvara. He said, don't cry. Don't you know? Krishna's not really your son. Krishna's Bhagavan. He's God. So you don't need to cry. When Uddhava spoke like this, in a very Shastric way, and with correct Siddhanta, Nanda Maharaj folded his arms and he looked at Uddhava. He said, Uddhava, I thought you were a very learned person. But now I see you're just a boy. You don't know anything. Uddhava, we know who Bhagavan is. We worship Bhagavan in our house. Bhagavan is Lord Narayan. Do you know who the pujari is for their deity? His name is Madhu Mangal. He comes every day. We know who Bhagavan is. Bhagavan is Narayan. How can you say our Gopal is Bhagavan? I thought you were Vidvan, a very learned person. Now I see you're a murka. You're a fool. You don't know anything. Huh? Narayan is Satya Sankalpa. Satya Sankalpa, whatever he says is eternal truth. But Uddhava, our Gopal, sometimes he tells some lie. Our Lord Narayan is Santosh, he's completely satisfied. He's Atmaram and Aptakam. But our Gopal, I've seen, he starts crying sometimes. He wants his mother's breast. I was telling the boys yesterday, Krishna is not a brahmachari. Krishna is a mamachari. And then the Maharaj knew that. He said, Uddhava, what are you saying? Lord Narayan is in control of everything. But our Gopal, sometimes he carries my shoes on his head. Sometimes he becomes angry. Uddhava, I thought you were very wise. You're just a boy. You don't know anything. This is what happened when Uddhava tried to tell Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, Krishna's not really your son. He's God. They couldn't accept. But you know, later, when Krishna went to Mathura, he killed the elephant Kuvalyapida. He killed the wrestlers Chanura and Mushtika. He fought with Kamsa and killed him. And then he rescued Vasudeva and Devaki. What did Vasudeva and Devaki have to say to Krishna? They told him, Yuvamnaha, Yuvnana, Suto Sakshad Pradana Purusheshwaro. Actually, you're not our son. You're God. And Krishna was feeling a little disappointed. It's not so sweet, not so attractive, just to be the CEO of the universes. He wasn't so happy with that. So Mother Yashoda, she doesn't think that Gopal is her Bhagavan. Sometimes the boys, after playing with Krishna all day, they come home in the later part of the day, and they say, Mata, Yashoda Mata, today an amazing thing happened. Krishna killed Bakasura, or Trinavarta, some demon. And we were coming home, and it sounds really far, I know. But I saw it with my own eyes. There were all these really strange people up in the sky. And they started throwing flowers on your Gopal. And they were saying that he was Bhagavan. There was one guy, it sounds really strange, he was riding on a swan. He had four heads. There was another person who was riding on an elephant. I don't know how the elephant was flying in the sky. And this elephant was there. He was on top of the elephant. And this man had eyes all over his body. And he was throwing flowers. There was another fellow. He was riding on a bull. He had no clothes on. And he had five heads. And all of them, they were throwing flowers over your Gopal and saying that Krishna is Bhagavan. When Mother Yashoda heard that all the demigods were worshipping her Gopal like that, what was her reaction? She said, really? My Gopal, Bhagavan, isn't that sweet? She was proud, huh? And it didn't affect her mood. Because as we were speaking here yesterday morning, Aishvarja Priti Sankuchita. The nature of opulence is, it makes love shrink. But in the case of Mother Yashoda, it doesn't work that way. On one occasion, the boys were playing with Krishna in the place called Brahmunda Ghat, on the bank of the Jamuna. And they came to Mother Yashoda and they said, Mata, your Gopal, he's been eating mutti. He's been eating dirt. Mother Yashoda was very disturbed. Do you ever do that? You never ever did that? I'm going to ask your mother. Mother Yashoda became very disturbed. She said, Gopal, come here. Did you eat dirt? And Gopal wouldn't look at his mother. He kind of turned his head. And he put his little hand kind of over his mouth. He said, no, I didn't eat dirt, Mata. The boys are saying that you ate dirt. Mata, they're angry with me because I didn't give them any sweets they wanted. They're telling lies. And Mother Yashoda said, open your mouth. Let me see what's inside. A little baby Krishna opened his little mouth. And Mother Yashoda looked inside. What did she see? You know? You know? What did she see?
She saw all of the planets.
She saw all the planets, all the demigods, everything in the universe. Mm-hmm. What happened to Mother Yashoda at that time? You know, when Krishna showed his Virat Roop to Arjun on the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjun became afraid. And his love shrunk. And he started offering prayers to Krishna. He said, Deva, Deva, Jagatpate. You're the God of gods. Dosha kami moha dami koro nija das. Please forgive me for my offenses. Please make me your servant. He started praying like that. Mother Yashoda looked into Gopal's mouth. And she also became afraid. But not for herself. She thought, what is this? Is that my Gopal? A ghost. Ghost. He's entered into my Gopal. She didn't know what to do. You see, that day, Rohini and Nanda Maharaj had gone to the home of Upananda, the older brother of Nanda Maharaj. It was someone's birthday or something. And they took Balaram along with them. And all the Brahmins were also gone. Mother Yashoda was there in the house by herself watching Gopal. She didn't know what to do. But actually, these village ladies, they're very wise. They know many, many things. Mother Yashoda, she thought, oh, I heard that if there's a ghost, the ghost will be driven away by some gobar. Do you know what gobar is? You don't know what gobar is. Gobar is cow poop. Okay? So she went out to the goshala with a big bucket, and she filled it up with gobar, with cow dung. Right? And she brought it back, and she started smearing the cow dung all over Krishna. All over his hair, all over his face, all over, everywhere over his body. And Krishna was standing there. with this gobar all over his... Would you like that? Your mother might do that sometimes if you're not good. Krishna's standing there with all this gobar. And Krishna was thinking to himself, everywhere else, when I show my Virat Roop, everywhere else, people offer prayers. But here in Braj, when I show my Virat Roop, what happens? They smear cow dung all over me. This is not good. Krishna thought, from henceforth, from now on, I'm not going to show my Virat Roop anymore in Vrindavan. This is not the place to show my Virat Roop. And Krishna never did again. So Mother Yashoda didn't become afraid when she saw that opulence of Krishna. Rather, she thought, oh, maybe there's some boot, some ghost, or something which has entered into Gopal, like Krishna. Krishna is so very, very attached to Mother Yashoda. On one occasion, Rukmini, she wrote a letter to Krishna. Please come and save me. These rascals, my brother, Rukmi, he wants to marry me to Sishupal. But I don't want that. I only want to marry you. So Krishna came, it was quite exciting. He kidnapped Rukmini, he put her on the chariot, and then all these hundreds of thousands, millions of soldiers, very powerful soldiers, were surrounding Krishna. They went to fight with him. At that time, Krishna picked up his conch shell very bravely, was about to blow the conch shell to begin to fight with all those powerful warriors. You may ask an interesting question. If Krishna was blowing the conch shell and getting ready to fight, who was driving the chariot? There's one lecture Srila Prabhupada that I was listening to. Prabhupada said, Rukmini was driving the chariot. She's a daughter of a Kshatriya lady. She knows how to drive a chariot like that and drive war horses. So in the midst of all those powerful kings, it was a very dangerous situation. Everyone was there to fight with Krishna. Krishna picked up that conch shell, he put it to his mouth, and something happened. Krishna became stunned in ecstasy. Rupa Goswami describes this. Kara yugalena grihi tam nidaya badanambuje damankam boom. Braja Rajni Stanapana Smarana Stimito Hari Jayati. He says, all glories to Krishna, who, taking that conch shell in both hands, placing it to his lotus mouth and began to blowing it, he remembered the breast of his mother. And he became stunned in ecstasy. Well, see, Krishna's a Mamacharya. Sometimes he can't even properly fight because he remembers his mother's breast. What kind of brahmachari is that? So, sometimes devotees, they have this question, really, who is the mother of Krishna? Guru Govinda Maharaj, in his book, he says that, he quotes Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and also Baladeva Vibhushan, a number of acharyas, they say that actually Krishna is directly the son of Yashoda. And there's a number of evidences for that. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he quotes from Harivamsa Purana, which describes that in the eighth month of pregnancy, which is considered asampurna, or incomplete, Mother Yashoda gave birth to Krishna. That was Krishna's Janma Leela. At the same time that Janma Leela went on, there's another pastime, which is the Avirbhav Leela. Avirbhav means appearance. Sometimes the two words, Avirbhav and Janma, are used synonymously. But there are some subtle and important differences between these two words. Krishna's Janma Leela was in Gokul. And the Brahma Vaivarta Purana and other literatures describe that at the time of Krishna's birth, the samskara was performed, the Jatakarma samskara, wherein the umbilical cord was cut from the baby. Now, unless that umbilical cord was very long and went all the way to the other side of the Jamuna River, Kamatura, It's definitely proof. Best proof that Krishna is the son of Yashoda. That was his general leela. And he woke up and he started crying, like a little tiny baby. And Mother Yashoda immediately woke up. Mother Yashoda looked at the body of her baby. He looked like a blue sapphire. He had amniotic fluid all over his body. And Mother Yashoda looked at her baby and she could see her own reflection. And Mother Yashoda became afraid. She thought, what is this? A witch? Some witch has come to attack my boy? You leave him alone? She was saying like that. It was very, very sweet. But in the prison of conchs, Devaki and Vasudev, they offered prayers. And it was Krishna's avirbhav. There was an appearance. He didn't come from the womb of Devaki. There was no cutting of an umbilical cord. He disappeared. And as we often comment, it was probably good for Devaki. Because those ladies here who have given birth to a child, would you imagine giving birth to a baby who has a helmet on and a club in one hand and a Sudarshan chakra in another? It would have been a little difficult. So he appeared in the prison of conchs and they began to offer prayers to him. And then Vasudev, on the order of Krishna, who is Vasudev Krishna, that Vasudev Krishna is a form of Lord Narayan. His father is known as Vasudev. He took that baby out of the prison of conchs. Yogamaya, Mahamaya made all the guards fall asleep and all the gates open. And he went to the bank of the Jamuna. It was pouring down rain. And he saw a golden jackal. That golden jackal is a form of Yogamaya. And he followed that golden jackal across the Jamuna River. The jackal was walking in a place that wasn't so deep. And then Vasudev took that baby to Gokul, to the home of Nanda Maharaj. And he arrived in the maternity room of Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda's birth was so gentle. When she gave birth to Krishna, she didn't even wake up. And she didn't realize she'd given birth to twins. There was a baby girl and a baby boy. But by the potency of that baby girl, who was Yogamaya, Vasudev couldn't see the baby boy. And he put his son, Vasudev Krishna, down in the bed. And that Vasudev Krishna entered into the body of Nandanandan Krishna, Swayam Rupa Govinda. And some say for 16 full years, Krishna resided in Vrindavan. And he stayed there. So Krishna is the son, actually, of Yashoda. But still, in spite of that fact, there's always this rumor that Krishna is actually the stepson of Mother Yashoda. And the residents of Mathura, they're always insisting, Krishna, you belong to us. You're our son. You're not the son of Yashoda. At Kurukshetra, when Krishna went to meet Mother Yashoda, he was crying and he ran to his mother. And Mother Yashoda couldn't even speak. She was so ecstatic to see her Gopal again after so many years. At that time, Devaki came there and Devaki began to speak in a way that we, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, calls Parokshavad. Parokshavad means you're saying one thing but you mean another thing. We had a talk about this the other day, Mataji. We'll use your husband again as an example. Is that okay? It's just like... Sri Gopika Mataji and Prabhuji, they have their 10th wedding anniversary, 15th wedding anniversary or something. And with great love, Mataji cooks for 3 days for her husband because she has so much love for him. And then he comes home on the day of their wedding anniversary and he says, sweetheart, I hope you don't mind if I'm not here today because some of the boys asked me to go swimming in the river. So is it okay if I go with them? And she tells you, fine. Go right ahead. Right? Now what did she say? She said, fine, go right ahead. Is that what she meant?
No.
This is called parokshavad. You say one thing, but you actually mean another thing. And really what she meant was, you're a jerk. And if you go with this guy swimming, when you come home, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to my father's house. That's really what she meant. That's parokshavad. So ladies are very expert in parokshavad. Sometimes men have a hard time. But she said it's okay. men a little like that sometimes. And ladies, you have to forgive us, okay? So Devaki, she started speaking to Yashoda in this kind of parochial way, in a very sweet way. And she said, Yashoda, I just want to thank you. Even though he wasn't your son, you took such good care of our Krishna for so many years. Right? It's a little poking like this. But Devaki was defeated by Yashoda. Yashoda didn't even hear what Devaki had to say because she was in samadhi, just crying and crying and looking at the face of her Gopal. There's a story that I heard my Guru Maharaj speak from a section of the Skanda Purana, which is known as the Prabhaskanda. And it's a story many devotees haven't really heard before, but it gives a very good explanation of who is the mother of Krishna. So, Devaki was crying and crying. Her first 6 babies were taken by her elder brother and smashed against the wall and brutally murdered right in front of her. Did you ever wonder why when Krishna killed Kamsa, he grabbed him by the hair and drug him across the dais? Did you ever wonder? Our acharyas have explained he did that because previously Kamsa grabbed the hair of Devaki, his sister, when he heard this Akashvani, this voice from the sky saying that the 8th son of your sister will kill you. Krishna remembered that. And he grabbed Kamsa by the hair and dragged him. So Devaki, she lost her first 6 children. And then her 7th children, it seemed like there was some problem. And the baby was transferred to the womb of Rohini. So she didn't have a child. 7 pregnancies, but no child. So she was feeling very, very sad. Meanwhile, Narad Muni had gone to Amaravati, the place of Indra. And he saw that Indra was sitting with his head down, looking a little depressed. And Narad Muni said, "Hey Indra, Devaraj, is everything okay?" And he said, "Yeah, everything's fine." He said, no, Indra, something's wrong. You tell me, what is it?" He said, "Well, Narad Muni, you're a sadhu, you can understand." He said, "I really made a big mistake. I didn't recognize Krishna. I didn't recognize that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because of that, I didn't get a chance to see his Bala Leela, his childhood pastimes. I thought he's just some talkative boy telling all these crazy things to the bridge bossies, telling him not to worship me, but to worship some pile of rocks instead." I was very upset about it. And because of that, I didn't get to see his Bala Leela. Narad Muni, when he heard that, he said, "Well, would you like to see Krishna's Bala Leela?" And Indra said, "Yes, I very much." Narad Muni said, "Okay, just be patient." Meanwhile, Devaki, she's crying. She lost 7 children. And she started offering prayers to the Devatas. Sometimes pure devotees do like that. Although generally speaking, Krishna says that it's persons who are very lusty and who don't have good intelligence. Who worship the Devatas, they don't have such good understanding. They're full of lust because they want something for themselves. But the bridge bossies, they also worship the Devatas. The gopis worship Kadyayani, they worship Suryadev, they worship Gopishwar Mahadev. And Devaki, similarly, she began to offer prayers to the Devatas. And she promised them, "Please, give me a son. If you give me a son, I promise I'll do a very special yajna for your pleasure." And some time went by. And Krishna came to Mathura. He killed Kamsa and Chanura Mushtika. He rescued Vasudeva and Devaki. And later he took his parents and all the residents of Mathura, all the Yadu dynasty, to an island known as Dwarka. And there in Dwarka, everything was going very good. And one day Narad Muni came there to see Devaki. And Narad Muni, he said, Devaki, I am disappointed with you. Devaki said, why? What did I do? Narad Muni said, you're the daughter of such a good Kshatriya. You come in such a good line. How is it such a person born in such a good line and you're telling lies? Devaki said, I didn't tell any lie. What lie did I say? Narad Muni said, you promised that if you get a son, you'll do some yajna for the devatas. And you got not just any son, you got Krishna. And you haven't done this yajna. Why is it you're telling lies, Devaki? Devaki became very unhappy. She said, what should I do? And Narad Muni said, you should go to the place known as Prabhas. And there at Prabhas, you should call all the Saptarishis, all the different Brahmins, and they should do some yajna. Krishna should offer ghee in the fire, and all those Brahmins, they should chant mantras. And you should invite all the different people, everyone in the whole world, you should invite them to this sacrifice. And you should sumptuously feed everyone. At that time, Padmavati was there. Padmavati is a little senile, little puggle, little crazy, so-called mother of Kamsa. And Padmavati, when she heard the words of Narad Muni, she said, Narad, it's very good. She said, but we're just ladies. We don't have an internet connection. How are we going to invite everyone all over the world? What are we going to do? Can you help us? And Narad Muni is a spaceman. He can fly everywhere. Narad Muni said, yes, I can help. He said, you please go and you invite everyone on our behalf. Narad Muni said, yes, I'll do it. But Mamati said, but one thing. You invite everyone in the whole world, but don't invite those bridge bossies. Narad Muni said, why not? And Padmavati said, because they're always trying to say that Krishna is their son. And it's very bad. You know, they abused him in so many ways. They made him do hard work, taking care of the cows. They made him go out in the hot sun. They didn't even give him an umbrella. And there were so many thorns and stones in the path. And they didn't even give him any shoes. And what's even worse than that, they made him do hard work and they didn't even properly feed him. He was so hungry that he had to steal butter. And then the poor boy, when he's just stealing some butter because they're not giving me anything to eat, what do? They tie him up with ropes. It's very, very bad. You don't go to Vrindavan. Don't invite those bridge bosses. Narad Muni said, I got it. Okay. Narad Muni left Dwarka. And what was the first place that he went to?
Vrindavan.
See, Narad Muni's a troublemaker. Like you. Narad Muni went to Vrindavan. And as soon as Nanda and Yashoda saw Narad Muni, they knew Narad Muni is a great devotee of Krishna. Mother Yashoda said, Narad, have you seen my Gopal? And Narad Muni, he looked a little confused. He said, you haven't heard the news? Mother Yashoda said, what news? That your Gopal, he's doing a yajna prabhas. And Narad Muni said, I guess you're not invited. And Mother Yashoda became really sad. She said, our Gopal is doing some yajna and we're not invited. And Nanda Maharaj, when he heard that, he said, silly woman, we're gwalas. We're bridge bossies. We don't need an invitation to go. We'll just go. And that's the nature of Braj. The word very quickly spread throughout Vrindavan that Nanda and Yashoda were going to Prabhas to see Krishna. Upananda, Sananda, all the different cowherd men, all the cowherd ladies, everyone decided we're also going. All the cowherd boys decided they're going to go. All the gopis decided they're also going to go. All the cows started lining up. We're also going to go. All the deer in the forest, they also started lining up. And all the birds of the Vrindavan forest, they also wanted to see Krishna. And you know, even the fish in the Jamuna River. When they heard that everyone was going to Prabhas to see Krishna, they decided, we're also going to swim down the river. We'll go to Prabhas and we'll also see Krishna. So they all started going on their journey to Prabhas. Then Narad Muni, he went all over the world and he invited everyone. And then he went to Amaravati, Indra's place. And he said, Indra, you want to see Krishna's Bala Leela? Yes? Come with me. And then he went back to Prabhas. And when they arrived there at Prabhas, the Brahmins were doing yajna, they were chanting mantras. And Devaki and Padmavati were standing there. And Narad Muni came and he said, so what's the report? Did you invite everyone? Yes, yes, I invited everyone. And Padmavati, she said, you didn't invite those bridge bossies, did you? And Narad Muni said, oh, I knew there was one thing that you told me. I didn't write it down. I'm so sorry. And Padmavati was a little annoyed, but she can't say anything to Narad Muni. So, about that time, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda and all the bridge bosses, they arrived so excited. We're going to see Krishna. We're going to see Gopal. They were so excited and they went running there. And there's the gate. And standing there like two Yamadutas, two Chokidars, were Padmavati and Devaki. And Padmavati said, probation is shade, entrance forbidden. Mother Yashoda, she said, my Gopal, my boy, my Kanu is there. And Padmavati, she became annoyed. He's not your son. Krishna's a son of Devaki. You can't tell that to Mother Yashoda. When Padmavati said that to Yashoda, Yashoda said, no, he's my Gopal. Huh? And Padmavati said, no, he's a son of Devaki. And so there was a little disagreement amongst the ladies. So what did they do? They turned to Narad Muni. The Narad Muni, who is really the mother of Krishna? Narad's down in big trouble, right? What's he going to do? If he says that Krishna is a son of Devaki, he'll break the heart of Yashoda. Or if he says that Krishna is a son of Yashoda, he'll break the heart of Devaki. But Narad Muni, he's very intelligent. He said, well, actually, it's very difficult to say who someone's mother is. But wise people have said that you can ascertain, you can tell who the mother of a child is when the mother calls for the child. The child will come to the mother. So you should both call for Krishna, and whoever Krishna comes to, then we'll know who Krishna's mother is. Padmavati said, very good. Devaki, you go. And Devaki, she started calling out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But the Brahmins, they're chanting mantras. Om sahasra sirsa purusaha sahasraksa sahasrapat sabhumim visvato vritya atyatishta dasangulam Swaha idam Vishnavehi dannamama. They were chanting so loud, Krishna couldn't hear Devaki's calling. And she called and called. And finally, she turned to Yashoda and she said, okay, Didi, you go. And then Yashoda, she started calling out, Kanu, Kanu, Kanu. Krishna's pouring ghee in the fire. Brahmins are chanting mantras. Suddenly Krishna stopped. He said, what's that sound? And someone told him, all this, some village people that came here from some place called Vrindavan. When Krishna heard that, he jumped up and a shruk, the spoon in his hand that he was using to offer a ghee in the fire, he dropped it in the fire. And he jumped up and suddenly something happened. That Aishvarja Moya Roop of Dwarkadish, that opulent form of Lord Dwarkadish, disappeared. And he became little four-year-old Bala Gopal, with dust all over his body, and no clothes on, this little naked Gopal. And he started running. Ma! Ma! Ma!
And Mother Yashoda is calling out, Kanu, Kanu. And Krishna comes running to his mother and he jumps into Mother Yashoda's arms. And Mother Yashoda is embracing him. You know, at midnight on Janmashtami, we do some abhishek for the deity. And sometimes Vaishnavas, they take water from the tree veini for that abhishek. It's very auspicious. The water is from the Sarasvati, the Ganga, the Jamuna. And they use that to bathe the deity. So in a similar way, Mother Yashoda was giving an abhishek to her Gopal with water from the tree veini, three sources. Her tears were flooding down her face. And those tears were going past the black cudgel. And the tears, the water from those tears became black, like the water of the Jamuna. And she was giving Krishna a bath with her tears. And at the same time, the milk from her breast was pouring out of that old lady. And that milk from her breast was just like the white water of the Ganga. And at the same time, Mother Yashoda was giving a bath to Krishna with the love of her heart. But you couldn't see that. Just like the river Sarasvati. We can't see that. The tree veini. And in this way, Mother Yashoda was bathing her Gopal. And then Narad Muni turned to Indra and he said, so, Indra, are you happy now? You got to see Krishna's Balalila? So for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we never accept that Devaki is a mother of Krishna. We always think of Krishna as the son of Yashoda. And there are many, many different evidences of this. Rupa Goswami in his book, Radhakrishna Ganadish Deepika, he says that actually one of the names for Yashoda is Devaki. It's another name for Yashoda. And he gives some technical explanation like that. There are many, many different things our acharyas speak, but this is a confidential subject matter. And this is Mathura meets Vrindavan. These two places having this wonderful, amazing meeting. And from this, we learn a lesson. That Krishna, he's not controlled by opulence. He's not controlled just by the prayers of the Vedas. Krishna's only controlled by pure love. And he can't stop himself. When his mother starts calling him, he becomes little Bala Gopal, little naked Gopal, who starts running to his mother. He can't control himself. Okay, so we'll stop. A little late. Does anybody have any reflections or comments? Is this okay? The story was okay? Yeah? Okay. Have you heard this story before? But you owe me a sweet pen. Okay? Yeah?
Yes, Prabhupada.
Okay.
Do you have a question?
Please.
Thank you very much. The invocation verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why is Krishna there referred to as the son of Vasudeva?
Vasudeva is also a name for Nanda Maharaj. As is Anakandandubi. Anakandandubi is a name for Vasudev, the husband of Devaki. And Rupa Goswami reveals this thing. And our acharyas in many different places, they comment like this. I find it very interesting. Some years ago, this is a little controversial comment from me, but some years ago I was in Nainisharanya doing some research for a magazine we made in the Bhagavatam. We had no place to stay. We were staying in one Gaudiya Math temple. Nice place, it always was very suited to us, doing our research. And while we were there, the acharya of that mutt came. So out of respect, we went to see him, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. And much to, I gave him one of our magazines, said some sweet words to him, and much to my shock, he started criticizing Srila Prabhupada. We don't want to hear that. What did he say? What he said was a very interesting thing. I didn't quarrel with him because he's a very senior person, but he said, you're Swami Maharaj, you call him, he says that Krishna is the son of Devaki, but actually he's the son of Yashoda. And he was saying that on the basis of Krishna. Prabhupada writes like that in Krishna Book. Krishna Book is a book which was meant for massive distribution everywhere. But in Prabhupada's purport, his Bhaktivedanta purport, the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, I think it's in the first chapter, are you familiar with what the purport is? First chapter? Prabhupada writes very clearly, he cites Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and different acharyas, that actually Krishna is the son of Yashoda. Prabhupada knew that, but Prabhupada had a certain purpose. And we should have faith in Srila Prabhupada. Well, and so our acharyas have described it, that it's a confidential thing. And sometimes it's kind of like paroksha bhava. One thing, it seems like one thing, but it's actually another thing. And therefore, when we approach Srimad Bhagavatam, it said, the Bhakti Bhagavatam Grayam, the Buddhaya, the Chitikaya. We can't try to understand the Bhagavatam just by reading it. And even Nachatikaya, not by taking help of the commentaries, Nabudhya, not by our intelligence. But Bhakti Bhagavatam Grayam, only by devotion can someone understand the Bhagavatam. And therefore it said that Duistani Bhagavata, that there's two Bhagavats. There's the Granta Bhagavat and Ara Krishna Kripapatra. There's the Bhakta Bhagavat. And if we want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, we have no choice. We have to go through a devotee. Otherwise, if we simply just try to read the book, and even in this case, Srila Prabhupada's book, if we simply read that and we just take one book and we don't approach someone who knows all those books properly, we may have a misunderstanding. Okay? Thank you. Anything else, Sister? Guruji, do you want to add anything? I'm a Rendra Prabhu, who's a very learned person. I feel embarrassed speaking in front of you. Mm-hmm.
Such an amazing class. You were talking about the display of opulence and how love shrinks outside of Vrindavan and love deepens in Vrindavan. As you reminded of this example in Bhagavad Bhagavatamrita, that Srila Sanatana Goswami quotes. He talks about taking 50 kgs of salt and throwing it into the well water. He says well water is sweet, but it's less in quantity. You throw 50 kgs of salt, as soon as you throw it, it becomes salty. But the same 50 kgs of salt you throw into the ocean has no change because the quantity of water completely outweighs the depth of the salt. He says every time Krishna shows his opulence, it's like salt. But in Mathura, in Dwarka, the sweetness of their relationship becomes salty. But in Vrindavan, the love is so voluminous, like the ocean water, that it's no effect absolutely. Uh-huh. It always sends something of some kind.
Thank you very much. Anything else from anybody? Would you?
Thank you, Guruji. Such a nice class. I wish you didn't stop. So I was actually feeling really bad for Devaki. So what happened? I was feeling really terrible for her.
Each devotee, we have our particular sthayi bhav. Bhav means our mood, and sthayi means that it's fixed. And your sthayi bhav can't be changed. And a nice example is given in Brihad Bhagavatamrita when Gopa Kumar, he went to Vaikuntha and everyone was preaching him, what are you doing, man? You can't dress like this here. Because he was dressed like a cowherd boy. And they said, around here we have four arms and we dress in really opulent clothes. But Gopa Kumar wasn't affected by that. It didn't disturb his mood. He has a particular sthayibhava, a particular mood. And so they just won't hear it. They won't understand it. Devaki, she's fixed that Krishna's her son. But she also sees that Krishna is Bhagavan, is God, and like that. And she has her mood is mixed with some opulence and some awe and reverence with Krishna. But she's fixed in that. It doesn't disturb her. We don't have to feel sorry for her. She's a very, very exalted personality. We take the dust from her lotus feet a million times over in Devaki. Anything else to say?
Yeah. We also say that this is the then you find out the difference between somebody who's sadhi sitting and NDPC. We talk about Devaki and Vasudev.
I wouldn't agree that it's just a matter of sadhana or nityasiddha. The Devaki, she's also sometimes described as nityasiddha. And there's compartments in the spiritual world. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his book Radharta Chanduka, he says that if devotees worship Radha and Krishna in mutual opulence, then they'll become like Lakshmi Narayan or Rukmini Krishna, and they'll go to a chamber of the spiritual world where they worship Radha and Krishna in great opulence like that. So that mood of opulence is also there like that. There's something else I was trying to think of. Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary, in the first verse of Shikshastakam, he says something which also might shed a little light on this. He said, first of all, he said there's two broad divisions of Shraddha, or faith. There's Laukik Shraddha and Paramarthik Shraddha. There's common faith and transcendental faith. And then again, the Paramarthik Shraddha, transcendental faith, is two divisions. Shashastra Avardharamoyi Shraddha, faith which is based on Shastra and is based on fear. And then there's Shashastra Bhagavad, Shashastra Avardharamoyi Shraddha. And there's Bhagavad Lila Madhuta Loba Moya Shraddha. There, in this phrase, the word Loba is important. Bhagavad Lila. That when someone hears some Bhagavad Lila, some Krishna Katha, either directly from a qualified person or at least secondhand to that person, someone else is repeating, just like the devotees who were traveling sometimes when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan, he met one Brahmin. And he saw this Brahmin was so ecstatic. And he looked at him and said, do you know Madhavendra Puri? You have some connection. Because he could see, this person must have some connection with Madhavendra Puri. So we may hear some Krishna Katha directly from some elevated personality or secondhand from someone else. And that quality of Shraddha, is characterized by greed. And the person may not be more qualified. Both of them are suttas. But because the second one has heard some Krishna Katha, some higher Krishna Katha, and I would strongly suggest the devotee should contemplate the pastimes of the preaching of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami and Srila Prabhupada, and how he presented Krishna consciousness, how he gave us the Tulsi prayers in the very beginning, how he gave Krishna book in the very beginning, and how, if you listen to Srila Prabhupada's early lectures in 26th Second Avenue, they're really good. Prabhupada speaks a lot about Krishna Leela. Also in some of his Nectar Devotion lectures in 1972 in Vrindavan, Prabhupada also, he liked to speak about Krishna Leela. That was something he wanted to give the devotees from the very beginning. And we should have some faith in that. But these two types of faith, it's not that one is right and another is wrong. I mean, you can't say, you know, that having brown hair is correct and black hair is incorrect. Is it both just the way it is? So one person has a certain type of faith, another person has another kind of faith. And we shouldn't, Krishna says in Gita, we shouldn't disturb that person's faith. So sometimes there's some quarrel between such devotees. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he speaks about this in Krishna Sangita, in the pastime of Dhenukasura. And he uses some very harsh language. I'll just repeat what he says. He says that ass-like devotees who are simply attached to the regulated principles, they can't understand subtle principles of Vaishnavism. And those persons like Dhenukasura, when they see the cowherd boys coming to Taliban and climbing the tall trees and getting the fruit, those donkey-like persons, those ass-like persons, ass-like devotees, he says, what do? They just make a big noise. Hee-haw! Hee-haw! No, they complain. You can't climb that tree, Bhaktivinoda says. You're not supposed to do that. Because they're attached to the rules and regulations. Don't disturb your mind. That's their perception, and that's perfectly fine. We're making some advancement in that way. But there's another person you can't tell them
They've heard something, and that greed has come in their heart. They want that thing. And although we're not qualified, Dugata Gata Nabidatri, Rupa Goswami describes, you can make Krishna, you can make the impossible possible. We have that kind of greed, that kind of desire. Is that okay? Anything else you said, Prabhuji? Two of you should just sit next to me.
I know, I was just thinking.
So
when he goes to Mathura, when he becomes big, so then what happens?
It's said that Vrindavana Parityaya Parikam Nagacchati. Krishna never takes even one step outside of Vrindavana. But wait a minute, that's not true. I read Krishna book. There's this fellow called Kura, and he comes and he takes Krishna away from Vrindavana. So sometimes we do a seminar on that, and we know of at least three or four different explanations from our acharyas. It's a very important subject. We could say that the most important, the climax, the most important subject, topic in the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna's leaving Vrindavan. If you study the Goswami literatures, it'll support that point, because that's either Anvayara, Yathireka, that might directly or indirectly, they're speaking about this point again and again. And how is it that Krishna can leave Vrindavan? So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in one place, he says that how do we understand this? Are we to understand that Krishna loves the devotees of Mathura more than the gopis? Is the love of the residents of Mathura better than the gopis of Braj? He said, if you say like this, it will hurt the heart of the devotees. He said, no. He said, but just as a goldsmith, when he wants to show the value, the purity of gold, he applies heat to the gold. And the gold melts, and when the gold melts, you can see it has no impurities in it. You can see how pure that gold is. So similarly, Krishna, wanting to glorify the gopis, pay his debt to the gopis, he's applied the heat known as Vipralamba Agni, or the fire of separation, to their hearts, and their hearts are melted, and then all the world can see the glory of the Brijvasi's love for Krishna. Without Krishna leaving, we wouldn't know the glory of their love. That's one answer, but not directly answering your question. Jiva Goswami gives another answer in Gopal Champu. It's a long, wonderful story. Just to summarize it very briefly, he says that when Krishna went to Mathura after he killed Kamsa and rescued his Vasudeva and Devaki, that the residents of Mathura, they had a meeting, and they said, they asked Krishna to come, and they said, so now you have to stay here. You're actually our son. You shouldn't return to Vrindavan. And Krishna was feeling great anxiety because I promised I would return to Vrindavan. How can I not return? I must return. No, you're our son. You have to. So Krishna was feeling confused what to do. So he went to Bapa, his father, Nanda Maharaj. He said, Father, what should we do? And he explained everything. Nanda Maharaj was also feeling confused. It was a long conversation. At one point, Nanda Maharaj said, okay, I can see you have to stay here. He said, but I'll also stay here. And then Krishna said, no, Father, if you stay here, what will happen to Mata? She'll die. If I don't return, and you also don't return to Vrindavan, Mother's going to die. And Nanda Maharaj said, well, we'll bring her also. We'll bring everyone from Vrindavan, and Mathura will become Vrindavan. That sounds pretty good, right? Pretty good idea. Krishna said, no, Father, it won't work. Why won't it work? You see, because Krishna is a Gwala. He's a coward boy. This is why it won't work. He told his father, he said, Father, Bapa, we're coward men. The cows are our life and soul, and we have so many cows. That's a long discussion. There are trillions and quadrillions of cows in Vrindavan, and every moment a few billion more are taking birth. Krishna said, if we come to Vrindavan, who's going to take care of the cows? And if we bring the cows to Vrindavan, how many to Mathura, How many parks are there in Mathura? If you bring all your cows to Dallas, Texas, how many parks do we have here in Dallas? If you have so many trillions and quadrillions of cows, how are they going to eat? I said, Father, they have to stay. And this is an external reason, it's also an internal reason, because if Krishna, if all the residents of Vrindavan would have come to Mathura, then it's no longer Vrindavan. And if Krishna would have returned externally to Vrindavan, then Sishupal and Dantavakra and Salva and all the different demoniac kings, they would have attacked Vrindavan. And you may say, what's the problem? Krishna can kill all of them in a moment. But that's not Braj Leela. If he does that, it will spoil everything. When the residents of Vrindavan, they'll see, oh, I didn't know Krishna could kill millions of warriors in a single moment. And he's so powerful. It'll spoil the mood of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is not a place for a great battlefield like that. So he had to stay. But Jiva Goswami says that at the same time Krishna had to return. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So Krishna manifested two forms of Nanda Maharaj. He manifested two chariots, two sets of boys, and he manifested two forms of himself. One form stayed in Mathura, and another form got on the chariot with his father, and he returned with the boys, celebrating, dancing, laughing. Krishna killed Kamsa, Krishna did this, Krishna ki jai ho, ki jai ho. And they returned to Vrindavan, much to the delight of all the Brijbasis. But there was another Nanda Maharaj, another set of boys, another chariot, who returned to Vrindavan without Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this in his Sartadarshini commentary. And he says there that in this way there are two chambers inside of Vrindavan. One is a chamber of union and one is a chamber of separation. And he gives some evidence to support that also. He says that when Uddhava arrived first in Vrindavan, he saw everyone so happy. And the deer were dancing, and cows, and because he entered into the chamber of union. But then he came out of that chamber and he entered into the chamber of separation. And he saw that everyone there was crying, practically going blind in separation from Krishna. A similar point is made in the book Narottam Vilas by Narahari Chakravarti. We just wrote some comments about this same exact pastime recently in one of our Bindu email magazines. That Narottam Das Thakur, when he visited Navadvip, when he first arrived, he saw everyone was so happy and there were kirtans everywhere. Everyone was so joyous and wow, this is good. But then he went a little further and he entered into the chamber of separation. First he entered the chamber of union. He saw everyone was very, very happy. But then he entered the chamber of separation. Everyone was crying. Nimai left. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. And he entered into that chamber of separation. That's one answer to your question. Other answers are there. I can just say briefly. But you won't understand. Because it would take me many hours to explain it properly. One you'll find in the book called Embankment of Separation. And my grandmother, she speaks that why did Krishna leave Vrindavan? Because he wanted to melt the heart of Srimati Radharani. And when Krishna left Vrindavan, that Vipalamba Agni, it melted the heart of Srimati Radharani. And at that time, Rasastomam Ritva, Rupa Goswami describes in the Dvitiya Chaitanya Ashtakam, Krishna entered into the heart of Srimati Radharani to steal her love. This is where Krishna went. He never left Vrindavan. He entered Radharani's heart. Some other people say he's hiding in the bushes somewhere and just watching what's going on. That's another explanation. And yet our Guru Maharaj said that, based on Rupa Goswami, that Rasastomam Ritva, he entered the heart of Radharani. That's a long discussion. I can't go in that direction now. But when Krishna entered into the heart of Radharani, he captured that Madanakya Mahabhava Dana, that wealth of love that Srimati Radharani has. and he came out of Radharani's heart, something changed. Everything was different. And suddenly, his Shyamavarna, his blackest complexion by which he's known as Shyamasundar, was gone. His blackest complexion was gone. He looked down, he saw a Gora Varna. The Shyamasundar had become Gorasundar. He became golden. And the Jamuna was gone. And there was another river. It was the Ganga. And Krishna Leela had become Gora Leela. So this is another answer. It's a very esoteric question, why Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. The final answer is given in the last chapter of this book, Mathura Meets Vrindavan, and you can get a copy, you can read it, because it's a very, very confidential thing, which you won't understand. I don't like to speak actually in public. It's from a book called Lalita Madhav. And I can just say the final conclusion is that Krishna never left Vrindavan, but his departure was just a dream, and he never actually left. That was another answer. But to get to that particular answer is a very wonderful, amazing story, which should make Shakespeare hang his head in shame. Lalita Madhav is an amazing literature. It's the greatest literature in the world, I can tell you. Okay? Anything else you said? Krishna is in Dwarka, he's Purna, he's complete. But when Krishna is in Mathura, he's Purnatara, he's even more complete. But when Krishna is in Vrindavan, he's Purnatama, he's the most complete. And similarly, Sanatana Goswami, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and other Gaudiya literatures describe that Krishna's associates are also in these three categories, Purna, Purnatara, and Purnatama. I'll give you an example, that Sridhar in Krishna Leela, in Braj, he becomes Guruva. And Madhu Mangal becomes Narada Muni. Sanatana Goswami and Acharya is described like this. And then we have a different point where it's in Braj, in Purnatama, the little less also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains this in a very nice way in his book Krishna Samhita. In Krishna Samhita, he says that in Vrindavan, in Braj, everything is just predominated by love. And the love is so sweet that it covers over knowledge. And even if sometimes they hear a rumor, like we mentioned, Mother Yashoda, the boys coming and saying, Ma, we saw all these strange people and they're worshiping Krishna and singing Krishna's Bhagavan, it doesn't weaken their love. Rather, it increases. Really? My Gopal, Bhagavan, isn't that nice? She becomes happier. And then she forgets all about it. She's not obsessed with that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when that pure love of Vrindavan becomes mixed with some knowledge, then Krishna leaves Vrindavan and that Vrajlila becomes Mathura Leela. It becomes mixed with some knowledge. And in Mathura Leela, when it becomes mixed with some understanding of Vanashram Dharma, then Krishna leaves Mathura and he goes to Dwarka, which is an ideal place of Vanashram Dharma. But the love becomes weaker and weaker in each different place. And this is a very important subject matter. It's esoteric, it's very deep, it's a little hard to understand in the beginning, but we should at least have a general understanding. This is our sampradaya. This is what differentiates us from other sampradayas, like the Sri Sampradaya and the Madhva Sampradaya. We have this understanding of the sweetness of Vrindavan. and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If we don't understand this, these other Vaishnavas who also chant Hare Krishna mantra, they also worship the forms of the Lord, they consider Krishna to be supreme. What is the difference between them and us? It's this thing. And this is an important thing to understand. And don't think that, I have no qualification for this. It's a fact. We don't have qualification. But what does it mean when we say there's no qualification? It doesn't mean that we can't know that it exists. If I want to go to Vrindavan, if I don't know what Vrindavan is, the Vrindavan in this world, how am I going to get there? If I decide one day, I'm getting my car and I start driving north, I'm going to get to Vrindavan. I might actually succeed, but it's going to be a long, cold drive, and it's going to be very, very difficult. But if I know from a map, if I hear it from sources, I've been to Vrindavan, or I have to buy a plane ticket, it's going to cost so much money, I have to go fly out of San Francisco maybe, and then fly to Delhi, and then from Delhi, I'm going to take a taxi, and I'll go to Vrindavan, then I can find my way there. It doesn't mean that understanding of our goal and how to achieve it, there's a vast difference between that and someone who's practicing Astakali Lila, Smarna. We're not qualified for that thing. It would be artificial in our case, but we must know something about it. If we don't know something about it, then what are we doing? How are we going to worship Radhakali Chandra? What do you and I put? A Shankar Chakra Garupadna, the symbols of Vishnu in your hand. Baba says in 2nd Canto of Bhagavatam that if you're not on this dredge platform, then Radha Krishna will set your wishes, watch your hands, so when you address him like that, you might do that. But that's not pleasing to Prabhupada. It's not pleasing to Krishna. We should know that. We should have our goal in mind. Okay? Alright? Do we have a Madonna player now? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Mother Yena Samarpa yet, you should finish with something sweet. Thank you.
Krishna, Krishna, Prabhuji's books.
So first of all, we talk about Mathurama Sundaram. Prabhuji just gave such a beautiful lecture, and he's left us on a cliffhanger of what happens next. It's all in the book.